Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. This is Heather Choate with Mark Johnston with the Thriving Marriage Podcast. How are you today, Mark?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing good. I'm enjoying the slightly warmer weather, and I love this time of year. How about you?
Yeah, I actually had a little bit of time earlier today. I was able to get to the park with my wife and my son, who's still at home. It was a really nice day out. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So today we're talking about unpacking the I hate you bomb, why your spouse might say this and what it really means, because this one can be a bit confusing. So we're going to shine some light on that. If you've ever heard this from your spouse, leave a comment right now. Say yes. Do you feel like they really meant it? Or do you feel like there could have been something else that they were meaning when they said it? Let us know in the comments. Before we dive into that, though, we're going to share our client win of the week. This one comes with permission from Kim. And she says, win tonight. My husband came and picked the girls up for his week with them. Then we talked for almost 6 hours. We were both very open and honest. He wants to come back and work things out with me, but he is scared that the changes won't be permanent. One step at a time. This is literally, I'm getting tongue-tied, literally the best program I have ever tried. Thank you, Mark and Heather. So really good job to Kim that now he is saying he's wanting to talk to her and he wants to come back and work things out, which is a huge change from where they originally started. I like here that she points out he's scared that the changes won't be permanent. That's one of the biggest things that we hear from spouses when they're pulling away is that maybe you're making positive changes and your spouse either doesn't notice the changes or they just don't really believe them. They might think it's just a manipulation or that you're just doing it to try to get them back and things will go back to the way it was before and they don't want that. So one of the things that we really, really work on with our PATH process is changing that story or narrative that your spouse has about you so that they not only see the changes, but they believe them and they know that these aren't just a manipulation to try to get them back. Mm-hmm. All right. So we asked you guys over in our groups on Facebook, the Thriving Marriage Facebook group and our 60-second plan one, has your spouse said, I hate you to you? I don't know about you, Mark, but I was looking through the comments and I saw there were a lot of people that actually heard this from their spouse. And I got to be a little transparent here. This is not going to be very relatable. I have never heard that from my spouse.
Yeah,
I have never heard those words.
Neither have I. Like, my entire marriage, like my wife and I mean, we've had arguments, of course, but one of the things that we've really, really tried to avoid is really harsh language specifically. And so we've always tried to talk things through, and sometimes it's not easy, but like there's certain things that it's really hard to come back from. And, you know, yeah, so I have a hard time if anyone is really upset with me. So I don't, I can only imagine if that's like your spouse specifically.
Right. And like I said, I know that's not very relatable that Mark and I have not experienced this one ourselves. However, as you guys know, we've been helping thousands and thousands of couples with their marriage. Mark, have you ever worked with a client that had a spouse that said, had a client whose spouse said, I hate you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that is a frequent issue. Yes, those words specifically, but, you know, sometimes it's some variation of that, or it's implied, it's any situation where like the emotions are really heightened and it's getting really intense. And, you know, I think these are all very similar sort of things, whether it's specifically those words or something very similar.
Agreed. In fact, I was doing some digging and I went into Psychology Today and I was reading through this article talking about hating the one you love and how this idea that sometimes love and hate can be like, we kind of think about them as opposites, like they should be on polar ends of the emotional scale, but not always. And they even quoted from Celine Dion's song, I hate you, then I love you, and I hate you, then I love you more. or Nat King Cole, sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's because I love you. And I found that a really interesting kind of dynamic there. Let's get some understanding of what this statement really means and where it really comes from. Furthermore, in the Psychology Today, I was talking about how loving and hating someone at the same time is not necessarily a contradiction, but it does create profound emotional dissonance. And that's what Mark and I are going to dive into here. And they also said that hate can serve to preserve the closeness of a relationship when other paths of communication are blocked. So love can be a fertile ground for the emergence of hate, it says. When the intensity and intimacy of love turns sour, then hate can be generated. In these circumstances, hate serves as a channel of communication when other paths are blocked, and it functions to preserve the powerful closeness of the relationship in which both connection and separation are impossible. Have you ever observed any of that, Mark, in the couples that you've talked to?
So I think like what this is speaking to is that I would say both love and hate really speaks a lot to the level of intimacy within the relationship, because you're not going to hate someone, not actually genuinely hate someone that you just casually have a relationship with. And so like, I think even to get to this point, like the songs that you quoted or the Psychology Today article, are all kind of speaking to that. Like it's really hard to have a deep emotion of any sort, love or hate, without some degree of closeness. And I think very specifically, when you do have a very close relationship, it's easier to have hurt within that relationship. And that's kind of the very definition of intimacy. You're close enough that like things can be really good, but you're also close enough that there's a possibility of pain. And in these really long-lasting, deep relationships, in my opinion, I think that's a little bit where some of this, these expressions of hate may be coming from. Right. I don't know if I answered the question. I think you're actually talking about experiences, but yeah, that was my thought on it, at least.
Right. And from what I've seen, because it is an indication of intimacy, it is an indication of closeness and a meaningful connection, like you mentioned here, Mark. You can't really hate someone if someone just said something really snide to me at the store today and I didn't ever see them again, like I would just be like, wow, they're having a rough day. But if my spouse said those same words to me, that's going to cut a lot deeper, right? Obviously. So I would love for everyone who's ever heard that from their spouse to just lean in here to the potential or the idea that it's actually a sign of intimacy or that this relationship is meaningful to your spouse. Now, I understand it's very hurtful and destructive and you can't really take those things back, but they can be repaired and overcome. And it is a sign that your spouse is not on the verge of apathy yet. So Mark, one of the things that we talk about here is kind of the arc of a relationship. And one of the things that we look at when we talk to people in our marriage breakthrough sessions, our marriage analysis, and in the one-on-one coaching that we do is we look for how far is relationship kind of deteriorated. Mm-hmm. And anger, and even I would say this expression of hatred, whether true or not, is above the ladder of apathy. Once your spouse becomes apathetic, where they just don't care anymore, like they just don't have really any feeling for you at all, then it becomes even harder to turn things around. So what I'm trying to say is take it as maybe a sign of hope, if you can. For Mark and I, when we would hear that, like that would be a sign of, okay, there's a lot of tension, but things have not deteriorated to the point of apathy. So that then means that there's an even greater likelihood of things turning around. So I hope that if you're hearing that, you can feel that there is possibility for you. But we definitely need to address why it's happening and what to do about it. So Mark, where is this coming from when your spouse says, I hate you? And what could it mean? I think we have three main ideas here.
Yeah. So I think the first off, if we're going to like kind of assume that everything is mostly good, I mean, it's not good if this is being said, but like if in terms of the best circumstance of like where this is coming from, I think a lot of it's some desire for change. I think that's like a very big motivator. If they're like really having those intense emotions and they're, it's really negative towards you, very, 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 very likely they want something different here. And there's probably a lot of frustration behind that. So I do consider, like, if this is the case, you know, we need, I want to divide this into like where the issue is. And it may be a little bit of a mix of these three things that Heather is mentioning. But I would say, hey, in this case, we're looking at this as more of a you issue, as in the hatred is expressed because there's a problem in some behavior here that you have some control over, and it's gotten out of hand. And I want to say, hey, it might not be even 100% your fault. It's almost never the case. But like, with this consideration, like, you do need to take some note of like where your responsibility is and see what you can do with what's going on. I don't know. Like, I don't know what your experiences are, Heather, but like, maybe, like we mentioned, you and I haven't heard these specific words, but I do think like that intense emotion that I have seen with my wife, this is always kind of something that I start visiting in my own head. I'm like, okay, like, how much of this is me? How much of this is my wife? What am I going to take responsibility over? What is it that my wife actually wants changed here? Rather than focusing on what everyone has done wrong. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a really wise way to do it. In fact, that's a good key to creating a healthy dynamic in a relationship, right? If we're getting negative feedback from our spouse, especially with these intense emotional words or situations, then it's going to be indicative of deeper issues, right? And so always when we can look at, okay, what might I be doing to contribute to the situation and how can I take responsibility for my part is always a very healthy place to come from. We don't want to overtake responsibility. Like, you don't want to blame yourself for everything that your spouse is doing, or you know, go to that extreme. And you don't also want to be completely dismissive of your part either and feel like a victim and feel like it's all their fault either, because neither one of those are going to create actual resolution here. So one of the things we always want to do is look at underlying issues behind the symptoms. And an angry spouse that's yelling or using hurtful words or poor language, destructive words, destructive behaviors, I hate you bomb, is a symptom of a deeper issue. And so when we can uncover why they're really saying it and what we might be doing that's contributing to that, now we can actually work on the solution. Simply saying, well, you shouldn't say that to me, or you shouldn't do that, is again, just putting the blame back on them and not looking at what you can do to change the situation and take ownership of that. We often talk about the drama triangle. I've been talking about it a lot lately. I don't know. I just feel like it's been so freeing to me in my life and in my marriage and in relationships, even with other extended family members, and really understanding that when we go into blame mode and we go into pointing fingers and we go into victim mode, or if we're the persecutor would be saying, I hate you, you need to change, right? Or trying to rescue the situation, it's only going to create more of that tension and the drama. And the symptoms are only going to continue to manifest in greater degrees usually. And so stepping out of the drama triangle is exactly what Mark said, is the very first thing here is taking accountability for your own part in the situation. And we've seen clients do that, right? Where it's been, you know, drastically different for them as they took responsibility for their part in it.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to experience some of this blame or like experience some of this intense emotion and be a little bit defensive and say, well, no, it's not my fault. What about what you're doing? And like what we're talking about here, at least with this, it's, we can step away from a lot of that if we're saying, okay, well, what is underneath all this, what are they actually asking for? And what can we do about that? It's a great first step. So the other like place that this comes from, in my opinion, is I think when there's a lot of frustration and blame. And I'm going to say this is more of an issue of circumstances. Like I was talking about at first, like, hey, let's focus on what you're doing. Let's take a look at circumstances as well. It may or may not have a lot to do with you, but in many cases, these intense emotions and expressions of hatred might come about from stressful circumstances. And that may lead to this, all this frustration, especially when nothing's getting better. I'm thinking of like some people that I know where there's a lot of stress currently over finances and all of that. And it's been going on for some time. And it's really leading to some heated arguments and some intense emotion and some really unkind things being said. And it wouldn't surprise me, I'm not sitting in there with their conversations. It wouldn't surprise me if that expression of "I hate you" has been in there. But in my opinion, I think in their case, I think a lot of this intense emotion has a lot to do with these circumstantial factors that are in there, with a lot of frustration that there isn't a clear direction to go in. It just happens to be projecting out towards each other. So like, this tells me a lot in these cases that there's something that is preventing problems from being resolved, whether outside of the relationship or even internally. Like there's something that's preventing the couples from talking to each other, from being on the same team, from saying, okay, here's where we're at. How do we get to that solution? And for some reason, these highly intense emotions are coming out and they blame each other and then it doesn't go anywhere. So anyways, what are your thoughts here, Heather? Where does this frustration, thoughts on frustration and blame and circumstances?
I've experienced this to a lesser degree in my own marriage. I mean, think about it, guys. We've all had a time when we were stressed out in life. Maybe pressure was really high at work or school or financially or health-wise. And you can't help sometimes, but you just take it out on someone else. And you blame your partner for something that's not really their fault. And so this is something that humans do, right? It's not very healthy or functional, but it's a way that we deflect what's going on inside of us and put it on someone else. That would be definitely what a victim or a persecutor does, right? They say it's your fault, you need to change, or there's nothing that can be done here, right? And so making sure that we can address healthfully in a healthy manner the issues that we're facing and let our partner know, like, I'm feeling a lot of stress right now. I'm feeling a lot of pressure here, instead of just taking it out on them or blaming them for what's going on. And then work together as a team to resolve those issues instead of saying, I hate you. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah. I think that's always like really a ideal approach. Now, that's sometimes easier said than done. Like, it's really easy for us to say, hey, you know what? Listen to your partner, team up against those circumstances. And I think that's like really possible when the couple is in a much better place. I think especially when the emotions are running high, that can be really difficult. And, hopefully you're able to wait that out and wait for people to calm down, because eventually people calm down for the most part. And hopefully once they have, you can come to that point where you can create some common goals and whatnot.
Yeah. I saw often in the comments, or not often, but at least several times, that their spouse said, I hate you, but they just said it in a moment of anger. They didn't really mean it. It was just kind of said in the heat of the moment, and that they regretted saying it later. And we've all done that too, right? We've all said things that we regret or that we don't, wouldn't have been the best thing to say. And so you can give yourself and your partner some grace about that. But if it's a continual problem and they're continually saying these things, then we want to make sure that we're understanding what are the underlying issues that are not resolved here.
Yeah, it doesn't really lead us into like that. The third area is like, sometimes this is a more of a them issue. And, if there are those intense emotions, they are saying these things, sometimes that really says a lot more about them than it does about you. Certainly, if there's high sensitivity, especially in cases where there's past trauma or underlying mental health issues, the unfortunate thing is this might not be an uncommon occurrence. And sometimes it's worth evaluating whether this may or may not be a toxic or abusive situation. Like, certainly, like you were saying, if this is if this sort of thing is said with some frequency, I think you would probably do yourself a big favor to get that professionally evaluated. I've seen a lot of cases where people are like, okay, this only happens now and then, but really now and then is every month, every few weeks or something. And that's not really a healthy situation. Well, like I said, you know, like sometimes we do have to consider, even when they're saying these intense things, we have to consider their part in this. Sometimes there's been a lot of traumatic experiences, I think. Sometimes it's maybe with you, but maybe it's not. Like I work with a lot of couples where like my client will come in and say, yeah, I'm like my partner's really reacting to everything that's happening. And I'll ask, okay, well, what were their previous relationships like? What was their childhood like? Not that I go too deep into childhood issues or anything, but they're like, yeah, they had a really rough childhood. They were abused. And I'm like, oh, well, that explains then these intense reactions. I think we all have sensitivities. I mean, Heather, you'd agree, right? Like I know I have my own like little weak spots and my wife has her own things. We all have sensitivities. But so like, I think most of us kind of get this. It's just that like when there is that trauma, the emotional reaction in my experience just is like way off the charts beyond some things that we're sensitive to. And I don't know, Heather, what do you think about like making sure, like the other person, like making, like, because I know a lot of people listening to this are thinking, okay, I've heard this statement from my spouse. How do we balance that? Like we've talked about like the client issues or the people who are listening issues and circumstantial issues. Now we're talking about the partner issues. What do we really need to keep in mind here? Like as we're balancing all this and we're trying to consider what to do with all this. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a balance there of understanding your partner, where they're coming from, but also protecting yourself from ongoing unhealthy, toxic situations. Mm-hmm. So I think it's both giving grace to your partner, but also saying like, this is what is okay. This is what is okay. And this is what is not okay. And that way we can make sure that we are in a healthy place ourselves, because when your partner says, I hate you, like that's an emotional trauma and it needs to be dealt with so that you can get to a healthy, secure place yourself. And at the same time, if your partner is dealing with high sensitivities, past traumas, underlying mental health issues, creating space and opportunity to allow them to seek professional help to get those things met. Now, some will and some won't. And again, that's a little bit outside of your control. So you have to understand, what can I control here? Okay, I can control if I let my spouse talk to me like that or not, or I can put in a healthy boundary here and say, if you talk to me like that, I'm going to remove myself from this conversation, or whatever the healthy boundary is that needs to be put in place there. But then also making sure that, you know, if they have experienced a lot of trauma, then you are able to be supportive of them while still protecting yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that balance is really important. I almost see this as like two sides to the same thing, like two big principles. There's like this side of taking feedback and listening and supporting, like all that, helping them. But then there's that other side of like setting boundaries, taking responsibility for your own part, making sure that you are experiencing sufficient respect here while things like this are going on. And, you know, many cases where this hatred or contempt have popped up, they can really turn unhealthy. And it may not always be appropriate to simply try and accommodate and placate and calm down your partner. And you need to draw that line. It's a really kind of, in my opinion, it's a fine line to walk and hard to tell like when it has crossed that line into this unhealthy, abusive or toxic situation, and when you should just be actually be calm and patient and understanding and supportive.
And for that exact reason is why I think it's so wise to get outside perspective and outside expert care, professional care. That's what Mark and I do, right? Because you're so close to it, you can't always see it for what it is. There's a pattern in my own family, just being a little transparent, of some bipolar disorder and some mood disorders and some very unhealthy relationship dynamics. We're talking about drama triangle, like to the extreme. And so when you are raised in that kind of environment, that clouds the way that you see things and the way that you think life should be done. Then when I got married with Ben, he was like, whoa, like some of these things are not okay, you know, because he was just like a frog being put into the boiling water, right? Whereas I was used to it. And so having his outside perspective was helpful to me to realize, oh yeah, that actually isn't a good way to address that. When I'm feeling hurt, I should be able to go to them and say, hey, you know, that was hurtful and I'd like to work together with you to have a good relationship. And instead they just blow it up and blame you for everything, right? That's not a healthy dynamic, okay? So what can we do here? Like, how can we change some of those patterns? So right now you and your spouse are in a certain pattern and you may have been in this pattern for weeks or months, sometimes years, sometimes even decades, right? And because we're so used to our patterns, you come home, your spouse says something sharp, you get defensive, then they get defensive, you blame them and then they're blaming you. And soon it's a shouting match or whatever it is. You're so used to doing things that way that sometimes you don't realize that you can do things a different way. And you may not realize that there's, again, some of those healthy patterns that you can put in, they're going to change the situation. And to know that fine line of when do I be completely understanding and empathetic and, you know, working with my partner? And then when is it okay to say, I'm putting up a boundary here. This is not how you should treat me. So because we're so close to it, it really helps to get that outside perspective. So if you guys would like, we offer a free breakthrough session where you can get that outside perspective. So just leave a comment and say breakthrough in the comments, and I'll get you the link where you can book that with us so that we can help you see, like, here is where you might want to give a little more. Here's where you definitely want to make sure you have that strong boundary so that we can navigate the situation and heal the relationship.
Exactly. So I think like we can make some general assumptions that kind of shed a little bit more light on this, I think. So first off, I want to say like this is a serious issue. If there's an expression of hatred, I'm very concerned that like contempt has set into the relationship. And that's a really serious state to be in. Like it takes a lot, I think, to shift from those feelings of love to feelings of hate. Now we talked about how like in terms of intimacy, like the potential there, you can go either way. So like it takes a while to get there, just to be at this level where you can have intense feelings. But even still, like most, you know, I assume that most relationships start off with a whole lot of love, a whole lot of care, a whole lot of affection, a whole lot of admiration towards each other. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be in the serious relationship. You wouldn't be married. You wouldn't be doing all these other things. So another assumption we can make is it means that there's probably been some things building up for a long time, very likely meaning that there are problems in the relationship, perhaps with feedback, with opening up about feelings, with problem solving. You know, we look at, we talk about like those five pillars of a healthy relationship. There's probably something rotting away with one of those. And the pillars, just for clarification, it is, there was an F word. Oh, fulfillment. Yeah, I was like, I know the first two started with it. Fulfillment, feedback, intimacy, positive regard, and commitment. You know, I'm guessing like there's probably been at least some problems with feedback. There's probably been some problems with intimacy there. There, you know, there's definitely at this point problems with positive regard and how they view you. But that's probably been building up for a long time without really clear channels to fix those things. I can even say further, like the couple probably hasn't been really building up a healthy narrative. It hasn't been really supported well. Like what I'm saying here is that this goes much deeper than just the statement of I hate you. And just the fact that statement is coming up tells you like where to start looking. Like, hey, we can start looking at the way we communicate with each other, the way we describe our actions about each other, or our beliefs and our, like the things that we, how we describe each other. We can start taking a look at how open we can feel with each other and whether we feel comfortable sharing some concerns or some problems or even some happy moments. These are all like places to start looking when this comes up. You know, certainly I think if your partner is telling you that they hate you, I think that's abundantly clear at this point that there's an unhealthy relationship dynamic. So anyways, those just like some, I just wanted to go off on that small tangent there. Cause like, I think we were talking about a little bit about where this was coming from, but I just wanted to really put it into context and give like the scope of this. I think most people understand that this is serious, but I just kind of wanted to give a few more thoughts there.
Yeah. So some two big principles to take away here, right, is it's really about taking feedback, which is about helping them and understanding where they're coming from, and then setting boundaries, which is all about protecting you in this situation. And that really comes down to your needs and their needs. Looking at that, we can look at those five pillars of a healthy marriage, and you can look at what are some of those root issues there and leave a comment if you feel like it's, is it lacking in fulfillment? Is it lacking in feedback? I definitely would say it would be, because feedback is the ability to give and receive feedback in a healthy way. Positive regard, probably check in the box there. Intimacy and commitment. And so one of the comments that I saw a lot of as well in our groups was, they're not maybe saying it in words, but they're saying it in actions, which can also be, you know, something that you want to look at with those underlying issues. So where do you need to build up strength in the relationship? And where do you need to have one of those five pillars healed? So leave your comment, let me know. I have trainings and guides on every single one of these that Mark and I have put together. So leave a comment if it's fulfillment, feedback, positive regard, intimacy, or commitment, and we will send you one of those free guides to help you guys to strengthen that area of your relationship. So Mark, a little more about how do we balance that? Like we keep talking about kind of like balance the taking feedback, which is helping them, and setting boundaries, which is protecting you.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I think that's like the one of the biggest principles or one of the biggest kind of things that we need to take into consideration as we're doing this. As we were talking about before, we're saying, if they're saying this, then there is something to address. And you need to really consider, okay, is this something that I need to change? Is this something that I need to support my partner with? And at the same time, because of the high intensity that the statement represents, there's probably some need for some boundaries here and some definitions of how you should or should not go about discussing this matter. So this is how I always like approaching boundaries. I always, and I think that's a very good thing to be discussing here. I always like saying, okay, what is it that you're specifically needing or wanting? Like what is the line in the sand? What are you asking for from your partner? And then where is the big wide open door for them to go through in a healthy way? As an example here, you might say, okay, it's all right that you're feeling like this, but you can't speak to me like that. If you do want to address this, I'd be very much more than happy to talk about this with you in some calm ways where we can work together. But if you're not going to talk to me like that, then, you know, then we have some consequences. So it's like, here's the line, here's the big wide open door, and otherwise there are consequences, not punishments, but just what you're going to do to remain healthy for yourself. And I think that's probably, in my opinion, the best way to approach that balance is that definition of, or that approach to boundaries.
Love that. Thank you. All right. So Mark, can you share with us, because I feel like it'd be very helpful if you can give like a case study or a client example specific to this issue, if you can think of some, where their spouse was saying, I hate you, or just very angry, volatile, destructive types of communication. And how did you help them to both understand where their partner was coming from and give to them some of their needs, but also setting some of these healthy boundaries?
So the first one that comes to mind, I'm thinking of like a client. And in this case, so the wife had come to us first. And right off the bat, I was starting to wonder, like, okay, is this like a somewhat abusive situation? Is this a really unhealthy situation here? Because the husband was speaking very harshly to my client and his wife. And then on top of that, there had been like multiple affairs, and a lot of the blame for his behavior was going towards my client. And so, like, obviously there's some unhealthy behaviors here, but, you know, that statement, like, I hate you, was coming up. And as I talked with my client, I was like, okay, well, let's take a look at what's going on and where his complaints are. And a lot of the complaints were about her not loving him and not supporting him. And while at the same time, he was doing these terrible things towards her. So with this client in particular, we did work a lot with boundaries, with helping her to stand up for herself and being very clear with what she was asking for from her husband. And, you know, interestingly enough, he did not respond well at first. Oh, actually, it's not really surprising. Like, I think a lot of people don't really react well to these boundaries, or when we try to change up some of the patterns in the relationship. The principle that was at play here, like what I was trying to encourage my client to do, is the principle is called extinction, where we stop rewarding unhealthy behavior. Because every time he would come and complain, what did she do? She accommodated him. And, you know, then the cycle would continue. So I helped her set some boundaries and then back off and really not reward some of this really highly intense blaming behavior, he couldn't really keep pushing that blame towards her quite as much. He was left to his own consequences, and he did flounder a bit. Like, he, you know, started once again seeing, like, going out there and starting talking to other women. But, like, eventually he calmed down and had to come back and work things through a little bit. Now, ultimately, in that case, I just didn't think it was a healthy situation. He kept coming back and he kept being very unhealthy and going through these cycles. And eventually my client said, you know, this, I'm recognizing now this isn't a good situation for me. So we shifted, and I was supportive of that decision of hers. But, like, it took a lot of work to come to this point where she said, okay, this really isn't healthy. And to make a decision to stop accommodating that healthy situation. But I think that was the best example that comes to mind, balancing some things out, listening to her partner and trying to accommodate him while drawing that line and really evaluating, you know, how much of this was the client, herself, how much was her husband, how much it was circumstances, all that. It was a really interesting case.
What I love about what you just shared is that even though, like, we always like to shine the light on the marriage was saved and everything turned around, that's not always the case. But the beauty of what she did was she got clarity on how people should treat her and what she should accept
exactly
in romantic relationships. And that is going to serve her so powerfully the rest of her life in any other relationship she's going to be in, because she was not in a healthy situation. And we've seen so many people go from one unhealthy, broken, dysfunctional relationship right into the honeymoon phase of another, and then right back into the destructive phase. And they never learn how to break that pattern. And that's one thing that I love that we do, is we give you guys the tools to understand how to have those healthy, functional patterns in your relationship. And she can also look back with no regrets, because she gave her husband the opportunity if he wanted to change. Now, we never force or coerce or manipulate our spouse to change or come back to us, because it wouldn't work and it's not what you want anyway. You want your spouse to love you and want to be with you for who you really are, not because you tricked them into coming back to you. And that's the kind of relationship that we want to build, is that healthy long-term relationship. And she gave her husband the opportunity to come back, to make changes, and he chose not to. And so she can have peace of mind now, I'm sure she does, knowing that she gave her marriage every chance possible. To me, that's worth everything. We're not always going to control what other people do. We can't always control the outcome of the relationship, but you can control what you do, how you learn from these challenges, how you learn how to create healthy relationship skills in your own life, and that will serve you powerfully. So many people do not have those skills, which is why they don't have a good relationship. The good news is that you can learn them. So if you guys want our PATH training on how to create that healthy relationship, leave a comment, say PATH training, and I will send you the replay of the live masterclass we did last week on that PATH process, so that you can identify what patterns you're in and create new healthy patterns. All right. Any final thoughts on this, Mark? Are we ready for Marriage Mythbuster?
Well, yeah, I want to say, like, just for that client I was just describing, the last time I heard from her, she had actually was telling me how excited she was as she actually started dating other people. And like you said, it's not always, you know, that's not always what we're looking for. And we're, you know, a lot of people are here trying to fix their relationship. But like, you know, the last conversations that I was having with this client was like just making sure that she's going into healthy relationships in these subsequent ones. And it was just really gratifying to hear like how confident she was and choosing her, like as she started dating a little bit more. And it was just great to see. Anyways.
Love that. That's awesome. All right. Now our marriage mythbuster. Yeah. Our marriage mythbuster is, in a marriage, you should always be liked by your spouse. I have to laugh at this one, Mark, because you and I, over the years doing this podcast, and it has been years, we've talked about how, like, I love you always feels nice to hear from our spouses. But sometimes the word I like you feels even better. Why? Because we're not always liked by our spouse. Yeah. Sometimes you can deeply love someone and be totally annoyed with them, right? Or just not really enjoy being around them because they're in a bad mood or whatever it might be. So I'm just going to bust this one here and you can add anything you want to, Mark, but you're not always going to be liked by your spouse. You're not always going to be, I don't know, bosom buddies or wanting to be around each other all the time. I know I'm not. And I've been married, you know, 18 years. And so that's definitely not going to serve you in your marriage. And also, if you're expecting your spouse to like you all the time, I feel like that is a breeding ground for more dysfunction in your relationship, because you're going to be either trying to like placate them or appease them or doing things just so that you're accepted. And that goes right into the drama triangle, right? So that's not where you want to play in your relationship. So, Mark, what are your thoughts about you should always be liked by your spouse?
So I read that and I was like, well, I want to be liked all the time in my marriage. Like, yeah. I think that's the goal, right? If there's a circumstance where myself or my wife aren't, if there isn't that likeness or the liking the other person there, that we should aim to fix that. But I do think that just being different people, having different opinions and whatnot and different habits, I do think that, like you said, that's not always going to be the case. I think a lot of being able to ride through the ups and downs of the relationship, and like those moments where you might not like them quite as much as you would want, it speaks a lot about the level of commitment in the relationship. It also speaks a lot about, you know, like, do you have healthy expectations? And I think that's a little bit what you were touching on, is like, hey, it's not really reasonable to expect to always like your spouse. But like I said, I think a big factor here is commitment. And to me, commitment is a lot about how willing you are to work through the ups and downs. There are going to be those moments where you might not like them. Can you actually go and talk to them? Are you willing to have that difficult conversation? Are you willing to address that annoying little habit? Or, you know, are you willing to just put up with it and because you are committed? And so, like, I think the way people get away around this a lot of times, if you maybe don't like your partner right then, is by looking at the bigger picture and kind of having some amount of patience, acceptance, some sense of like the, you know, this doesn't break everything if you don't like them right then. But anyways, I do, you know, like I said right off the bat, I do think that, you know, you should at least work towards trying to like each other as much as possible, even if it's not always.
Agreed. And just full transparency, I think I like my husband more now than I did like 7 years ago. And the reason why is because we do have the ability to like give feedback now and resolve issues. And like the tension is so much more reduced between us, like the levels of trust. I don't know, just it's a totally different dynamic. So yes, you should aim to like your partner. Just know it's not always going to be 100% the case, and that's okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today and sharing such great information that will lead to transformation in everyone's lives. So leave a comment. Let us know what stood out to you the most today. Was it understanding what I hate you really means? That it's actually a sign of intimacy and closeness, and it could either mean desiring change, frustration, or blame about a situation, or maybe they're dealing with some past trauma or an underlying mental health issue. And what do you feel like you can do to turn things around so that you too can live your life with no regrets and know that you are becoming a better version of yourself and creating healthy, lasting relationship patterns in your own life? Let me know in the comments. I respond to every single comment that we get, and I can't wait to hear from you guys. And next week, we're going to share with you, we're actually going to be doing a live Q&A working with you guys on if your marriage can be saved. So if you're in our Facebook group, make sure you watch out for the link where you can submit your situation and we will review it live and do a quick initial kind of high level diagnosis of whether we feel like this is a situation that could be turned around or not. So thank you so much for joining us, Mark, and we look forward to seeing all your marriage thrive.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.